His presence, by His Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here this morning, we're going to hear the Word of God, and God's going to speak and deal with the inner parts of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's confess this morning, because we believe that God is here, and that we're here to encounter the greatest power in the universe, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're encountering His presence here this morning, and we're going to declare, because God has done so much for our lives, we're going to say, we're going to declare together that we believe, okay, I believe, that we will win, because we believe what the Word says, about who we are,
what we have,
and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. The powers of hell, and that today we can choose to worship Him in spirit and truth, and we are victorious. Amen. Greater is He that is in us than He who is in the world. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's do a statement again, shall we?
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's try that one more time, shall we?
That God is building. Amen.
And He's coming back on for to His coming and His return. Amen? What a wonderful God we serve. We are God's own special people.
Amen?
We are not. He cares for us. We are valuable unto God. He's precious to those who believe. They are precious unto Him. Amen? So I want to read a portion of Scripture. I want to talk to you this morning about submission versus obedience, or both. Right, as God's own special people, He called us for what? Alright, to come into His kingdom, to be part of His family, and to do His will, to extend His kingdom, extend His love, live a godly life unto Him. I want to start by reading the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And he says, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The chosen stone and His chosen people, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. But you, everybody say, but you.
But you.
And you turn to your neighbor and say, but you.
But you.
You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Amen? As an introduction this morning, just to clarify what I'm about to share this morning, as we're talking about submission or obedience or both, I want to just, as we read this portion of Scripture this morning, I want you to take note, particularly in verse 7, in the next line, verse 7. Alright, it says there's a comparison made between belief and disobedience. So if you have your Scriptures open, if you want to go back to the slide again, in verse 17 it says, therefore to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. I want to say this morning, you know, there's a comparison made between believing and disobedience. And so, henceforth, what you can say, if we have belief or if we have faith, it leads to obedience. However, if we have unbelief, that leads to disobedience. So to summarize that again, there's a faith inside of us that God, when we believe and put our faith, when we repent and turn away from sin and put our trust in Jesus, we're putting faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that faith transforms my life, puts inside of me the life of Christ, the life of God inside of me that leads me to obedience. I want, because I now have a new life. I'm no longer the old person who has been crucified with Christ, but I'm now a new creation in Christ Jesus, created for good works. Amen? Amen. And if you recall what I shared last week, the first thing is we're chosen out, we're picked out from darkness. There's something that happens, this is born again experience, this mind-boggling thought that this God, who's the God of the whole universe and the galaxies, would pick us out. And that encounter with Jesus, there's something inside of me that causes me to say, Lord, I want you. Lord, I seek you. Lord, I want to be changed. I don't want to just run life. I don't want to go to church just to do church. but I actually want something. I want your presence, I want your word, I want the reality of Christ. And that reality is the only thing, that truth of Jesus is the only thing in the entire whole world that can change our lives for the best. Amen? God has the best for us. And so, what I'm saying here is the faith in the inside of our heart that causes us, that leads us to this obedience that God delights in. You know, there's an obedience that God delights in. I want to just make a distinction between submission and obedience, or both. As we go on, hopefully it will be clear. Now I want to turn to another scripture, which we'll be hearing week after week, every morning. You know, and you know, as I realize more and more, I keep saying, but I realize that our Christian walk has to be practical. It has to be real. Oftentimes, you know, otherwise we talk to people and we say Jesus is real, and if our own life is a mess, what is testimony is that Jesus is great. I'm not saying that we're all there, I'm not saying that we're all perfect, I'm not saying that we have done it all and we have it all, but there must be something inside of me that's pressing on, and my life is bearing fruit, and yes, I'm getting through, yes, I'm getting chopped here and chopped there, happens, it's okay, but all of this is ultimately so that I can bear more fruit, and ultimately much fruit, and the fruit that Jesus is pleased with. The practical life. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. This is not foreign language to you by now, I'm sure. Alright, since we'll be memorizing it this morning. But what does it say in Romans 12, chapter 1 to 2? And it says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Is that right? And what does it say? Do I have the next one here? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so what we're reading here is that we are presenting this body, we are consecrating, we're dedicating our bodies completely, our eyes, our thoughts, our hands, every part of our body unto God as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. Alright? So that we may know what? So that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And so God's will for us is that we live a surrendered life, completely consecrated unto Him, so that we would be dead to sin, but alive unto God. That is part of His will, right? Because unless we are completely submitted to Him, we will be doing our own will, or Satan's will. I want to couple that scripture here, or I want to cite it, or put next to this scripture, Romans 12, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. Next slide. And this is what it says: therefore, when He came, this is Jesus, when He came to the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. You had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the books, it is written of me to do your will, O God. So when you put this scripture next to Romans chapter 12, you realize that when Jesus came, He came in flesh. He came in a body like you and I. To do what? To do the will of God. Sacrifices and offering, which speaks of what? It speaks of the ceremonial law, right? Of the Old Testament, where they had to do certain things before God to be accepted. But Jesus, when He came to put an end of all these things that can never, never really provide true, real redemption of sin. And so He came to atone us from our sin. He says, sacrifices and offerings, I don't please with that, because you can only find salvation in the name of Jesus, through my blood, through the blood of Jesus, and the broken body of Jesus alone. And so today, you and I can offer to God spiritual sacrifice. Amen? Which is what we read from 1 Peter. We offer up spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. This body of mine is to do what? To do the will of God, by which I can offer up spiritual sacrifices. It's to do His will. And so we realize when we read, present ourselves to the body is to do what? Is to be submitted unto God to do what? His will. In other words, you can say part of that. We are coming before God and we say, Lord, here I am. I am submitted unto you. Here I am, and here's everything part of me. I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to you, and I live a life pleasing to you. That's why we have to also understand that because Jesus has done it all, there's nothing, no works of nothing or what we can do to earn salvation. It is only through Jesus. And so, but oftentimes what we can do is, even if we are believers, sometimes we try to compensate by doing more works. So we thought by doing works, I'm offering to God a sacrifice and an offering. But he says, it's clear in the Bible, turn away from those dead works and put your faith in me, because it is only through me that you can see, that you can find resurrection life. So what we do can never, ever, ever compensate for that. So sometimes it leads us to a place of bondage and religion. We've done something wrong and we try to compensate by trying to do more things, and hopefully we will be even or even out what we've done and trying to feel good about ourselves. So, but what God desires is that we're completely yielded and surrendered to Him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So henceforth, there is a faith inside of me. There is something that is longing from the inside of me that no one has to tell me, love God. No one has to tell me, seek the Lord. No one has to tell me, come on, come for this, come for that, this is good for you. You have a desire to grow. You have a desire to change.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not going to go through this next slide, but I'm just also using some of the stuff that we've been hearing in the past few weeks from Grace, and we've been reading the book of Leviticus. We find about the five offerings, right? We find that the first three offerings is a free will offering, which means it's from our own free will. And obviously the two are compulsory for trespass and sin, but everything that we offer to God had to be from our own free will. Now, just let me give you a thought at this point in time. Is in Genesis we have Adam and Eve, right? And so what happened with Adam is that Eve is that they were deceived by the serpent to eat of that fruit. To eat of the fruit, is that right? And so when you think about when God put the trees in the garden and said, you can eat from this one, you can eat from all the trees of the garden except for this one, there was a faith obedience that God was after. Right? So we put that so that I trust in you, I have faith in you, I submit to you, and I will obey you. Right? So God created us in such a way that we can make choices. Is that right?
Yeah.
We can choose to believe in Jesus and go to heaven and be with Christ and do His will, or we can choose to reject Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus will not force us. God Himself will not force us. He leaves us with a choice, but we can make the right choice, right? In Jesus' name, amen? And so, even there, what God wanted right from the beginning is this faith obedience, this surrendered obedience that says, I believe God, I trust in God, and that faith leads me to obey. However, can you see that as Eve began to be deceived and began to be tempted, obviously, pride of life, lust of the flesh, eyes, and lust of the flesh, and all of that. Pride of life. Sorry, I said that again. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We begin to see that the enemy started to operate and play with the mind. Right? And because of that, she opened up herself. She came out under this protection of God. She opened herself to the attacks of the enemy and ultimately did what? Disobeyed God by eating of the fruit that she was not supposed to eat. And so when we start to entertain those thoughts that are not God, we open ourselves to the demonic realm. That's why in Romans chapter 12 it says, therefore, don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind. Right? Be renewed and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Alright. So this was kind of an introduction. So now let me talk to you about submission versus obedience, or both. Or I call it submission versus faith, or faith obedience. Alright, so submission, let's just quickly look at submission. Submission means to, you see, the word is made up of two in the in the Greek, okay? It says to come under something that's been appointed or set. Or if you put it together, it means to come under that which is ordained. Sorry, this spelling mistake here. Ordained, that which is appointed, and that which is a set authority, submission. In other words, we can say it means to yield or to be subjected unto something or someone or an authority, to come under that and to be subjected. To yield, I think, is the best way, one of the best ways to describe that. In scriptures, as we continue to read 1 Peter, which we're not going to read the scriptures, but if you look through the scriptures, when you combine Peter, 1 Peter, and Ephesians, and Timothy, and Titus, and all these scriptures, and all these books, you can find that God wants us to submit to authorities. And just really quickly, this is just to flash it out, but we have to be submissive to, number one, is God's authority. Everybody say, check God's authority.
God's authority.
Okay, number two is the church authority.
Church authority.
Alright, number three is the family authority.
Family.
Alright, so the fathers, children, the fathers, and the brothers, and the sisters. Alright? Number four is civil authority.
Civil.
So this one speaks up with your government, the laws, and all these kind of things, right? So your government, where you live in, the laws of your country, and things like that. Number five is social authority. Okay, these terms are based on, if you remember, honest reward, but the social authority is your boss. Your boss at work, or your teacher, and all these kinds of in the things that we go in education, in sports, in all this, and all of these authorities of ours. So God is saying, we submit to God's authority. Be submissive to God's authority, because all authority is set by God. Right, Romans chapter 13 talks to us about that, verse 1 and verse 2. It talks about that all authority comes from God. And so I wanna maybe just jump straight to it, but I believe there's a difference between submission, right? That submission that leads to obedience, which I call faith obedience. Okay, which is how the covenants are actually established. God is looking in every covenant. The covenants that He established with us is to serve such that we will have faith, obedience, versus obedience, which is just like, I'm doing it because I'm told to. Alright? And I'll still do it, but inside of me, I don't really want to do it. I don't agree with you at all. But since you're older than me, I don't really have a choice. Alright? Or sometimes we go to school and, you know, you don't really want to do your homework, but I suppose you have to do your homework, right? Because you don't want to get into trouble with your teachers, maybe you're scared that your parents are going to be angry. Alright, I'll study. Alright, well, how many of you, you know, washing the dishes and you'd rather do something else, you know, and your parents are like, hey, you're supposed to be washing the dishes, and you're like, oh, no way. Okay? Sometimes some of us children go to the extent of not obeying, or some of us go to the extent of, okay, I will do it because you asked me. Okay, and I have to because you're my parent. But the difference is there's no desire inside to do it. So what happens when that happens in the inside of us, we are just doing it without something inside that clicks. And so what happens is when we just obey without having a heart to obey, by the time we can run on our own 2 feet, we will do just what we want. We just forget everything that was said because it meant nothing to me. You see, there's something, when something means something to us, the way we do things is completely different. If you have a passion for something, music or sports, when you go and do your sports, when you go to do your music, you have a heart to do it, to excel. And your heart, your mind, everything is just focused on that one thing, to get it right, and to make it sure you get it right. But if you're bored, you really don't like something, and you don't care about something, you know, you really have to motivate someone. Okay, if you do this, you can can go to McDonald's. If you do this, I'll promise you ice cream.
Oh, ice cream.
I think I'll do it now. Okay? So we have to motivate people in such a way. But more than that, okay, sometimes it's good. It's good to motivate. It's good to get people, you know. But what I'm trying to say is ultimately, at the end of the day, something was happening inside of me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even if I come to church, if I do this for the Lord, you know, okay, well, you know, I gotta suffer for Jesus. I don't really want to be suffering for the Lord. You don't really want to, but you, so we become very religious about things, and sometimes we do a lot of things, whether it's in the church or whether it's outside of the church. But what God actually desires is something that is within that causes, that leads to this obedience and saying, yes, I'm submitted. So there's a difference between submission and just purely just obeying, just for the fact of obeying. Now, obedience is good, all right? Especially when we're little kids. I was a little kid, right? How many times have I obeyed? Not because I wanted to obey, but I better listen because this is my parents, or because this is my authority, I'm at school, I have to obey, right? So in this process, I'm being trained to obey. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, what has happened to everyone is that which comes from within. Submitting to authority means I come in a place where I surrender, I submit, I come under. That means I don't just do it because I'm told to, but I see what you're saying. I know, I understand where you're going. I come under that authority, I yield myself, I honor that. You see, to submit in a way is to bring honor. You're honoring this relationship, you come under that, and you serve that, the command or the instruction or whatever it is. Amen? There's a statement that we hear, I can't remember who it's from, but it goes something like this. Skip a few slides here. It says, I can give. Okay, this is just a statement. I'll bring it home with that. I can give without love. That means I can give people money, food, without loving them. Right? But I cannot love without giving. That means if I have love, I will surely give. Can you?
Yeah.
Okay, the statement might be a bit tricky here, but it says, I can give without love. Means I don't really love you, but I've got extra money, I'll just, you know, I can just give. But I cannot love without giving. You can say the same thing here, I can obey without submitting, but I cannot submit without obedience. That means I can obey purely from obedience, purely from, okay, I've heard something, I'm just going to do it. I don't have a heart for it. I don't agree absolutely with you. Then I'm not interested, but because I have to obey. And there's a difference between I submit, and from that submission, from coming under that God's ordained authority, it leads me to obedience. There's a scripture in the Bible where it talks about this poor woman. There were rich people giving money, alright, giving offerings of money, and they were rich. They were really rich. And because they were rich, Bible tells us that they were giving. They were just giving out of their abundance. They were rich people, they had money. This woman, this poor woman who had too much, let's say 2 coins or I don't know, 50-cent coin or something, or 20-cent coin and a 5-cent coin or something. And that was all she had. And she gave that money. And Jesus said, those rich people, they gave. Because of their abundance, they gave that big amount. But this woman, who had the smallest amount, 2 mites, okay? 2 mites. But because that's all she had, she gave a lot more than those men or those people, whoever they were, that were, you know, those rich people. And so what I'm trying to say here is that it's true, we can do so many things. There are how many charity things in the world. People can just give, but it's not because they care or love or have compassion for people, it's because they have an abundance. So it doesn't even affect them. They don't even feel anything, you know? $100,000, it's just like to It's just like, oh, just a dollar here, a dollar there. For them, it's not much. But for that woman, it meant so much. She gave everything from her heart. So let me say that again. I can obey without submitting, but I cannot submit without obedience. What does that look like in a real life situation? We talk about parents, for example, children submitting to parents. We talk about the church. The Bible tells us, young men, submit yourself to your elders. Submit yourself to the leadership. And so what I'm saying here is, in 1 John chapter 4, 20, it says this. This is in a different context than I'm reading this context. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Right? So what I'm saying here is that oftentimes we can say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I submit to your authority. You are the greatest one in the universe, and I come under no one else's authority except yours. You are the only one that stands alone in my life. Right? However, when God works, God doesn't work just you and God. God uses people. God will establish the government in our country. There are laws that we have to abide to. God will set up our spiritual parents over our church, over our house here in Evangel. There are spiritual parents of God, pastors, our pastors that God set over us to look after us. So if I say, and it's a little bit like this, I say, you know, I love God, but I don't love my brother. How can that be? You can't even love people who you can see. Would you love God whom you cannot see? In the same way, you can say, I submit to God. You don't submit to God or the authority and say you submit to God. Do you see what I'm trying to say here this morning? So what I'm saying is that all works together. God uses that. And if we say we are truly submitted, then we check our hearts and say, look, I'm submitted, but what do I mean when I'm submitted? Am I submitting, or I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it, or is my heart yielded to come under either the leadership or whatever it is, the church, what God is doing in the church, and come under that and serve that same purpose, or I'm just simply doing it because I guess I have no choice. I'm stuck here. Is that an amen? Or
yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, look, God is a good God, you know, and he's working in our lives. And so I believe, I declare this morning that from this congregation, you know, our hearts, God, in fact, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, God is looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of obedience, it's that kind of relationship that God longs for. And I declare and decree this morning, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is, from this congregation of people, a mighty company of people,
amen,
God's own special people, that will proclaim the praises of God, completely submitted and yielded, and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, not my will, but your will. Not my own desire. Lord, your desire. I commit, Lord, I surrender, I present, I consecrate, I dedicate my life to you, to completely yield to your authority over my life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
Romans 6:17 says, you know, this Romans chapter 6 talks about this, talks about this resurrection that we have experienced. Do you not know that as many as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And do you not know that as Jesus Christ, by the glory of the Father, rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, even so we shall experience, we shall walk in the likeness of his resurrection. Alright, so this is the first few verses. And it said, but don't present your members to sin. Because if you present your members as instruments to sin, whatever you present yourself to, that thing becomes your master. That means you become a slave, and that sin becomes your master. But he said, no, but rather present yourself to God as instrument of righteousness. That means I present myself so that God is my master. So if I don't present myself to God, I'm opening myself and saying, here I am, devil, I'm going to serve your will. But he says, so it's so important. So when we say we present ourselves, who is our master? If we present ourselves to the world and the worldly things, going after the lust of the flesh and all that, we're opening ourselves and saying, sin is my master. But no, we have not experienced that. We have experienced the resurrection power of Christ, whereby we present our lives, and now Jesus is my master. Amen? But look at what verse 17 says. Verse 17, in Romans 6, he says, but God be thanked that though we were slaves of sin, yet we obeyed from the heart, you obeyed from the heart, the form of doctrine to which you were delivered, that example of teaching, the things which we preached to you, the message of the gospel, you obeyed from where? You obeyed from the heart. I didn't say you obeyed from the mind, but you obeyed from the heart. God is after faith obedience. God is after submission. Amen? You know, when we look at, let me conclude with this last example here this morning. This is, I bring this to a close here. We look at the life of Saul, King Saul, first king of Israel. Tall, handsome, good build, looks like very kingly. And he was chosen by God, and God gave him through. Now, see that? Okay, I'm not sharing specifically that, but look how it works. So, even though he's king, yet God used Samuel to give him instruction, right? A command to go against the Amalekites, I believe they were, to completely destroy. Right? But what did he do? He didn't fulfill the job 100%. Does that make sense? He only did maybe 90%. The 10% was, I've got the king's head, this is my reward. Take the spoils and all of that stuff. But God says, clean up, clean up, clean up. And so when God looks for obedience, the obedience is not half done, three quarters done. It's fully done, full obedience. But you see, one of the issues with King Saul was that, yes, he obeyed. Most of us can probably say, but look, he did 90% right. Why would God be so mad? For a little bit. After all, he did do most of the stuff. Seems right overall. But why is God not happy with that? You see, in his mind, in his approach, I believe, in his thing, is that, okay, yes, he did obey, so you might say, oh, okay. But look, when he did that, he had his own will still. I want to get this trophy for myself. I still want some glory. I still want to do my own thing. Even though that's not quite what God said, but look, I can still serve God. I can still follow most of his instructions, but still keep a bit of glory for myself. Still do a little bit about this. Still do that my own way. So he was not completely submitted unto God. He still had his own, a bit of his own agenda there. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? So King Saul did not fully obey. And so then we know that David was chosen because he was after God's own heart. See the difference? Saul was not after God's heart, but David was. And so the message is, it's from the heart. It's something that happened to us that says from within, Lord, you are the God of the whole world, the universe. You created me, you made me, you loved me, you took me out of darkness. If I can understand that this is what God did for me, then the least that I can do is, Lord, I'm in awe of what you've done for me, and from thence on, my life can never be the same again. Amen? Amen. Amen. Psalms 110, verse 1 to 3. It says this, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand, shall make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, to rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. I declare and decree this morning that God's people, men and women here in this place, in this church, are rising up to be volunteers in the day of God's power, to be completely yielded and say, Lord, here I am, here I am, here am I to you. your God. Hear my Lord, I'm not doing this because I'm just being told to. But Lord, something happening inside my heart, and I want to. There's a driving force that says, yes, Lord, I want more, Lord. I want more, Lord. I want to obey you, Lord, from my heart, from deep within, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your people rise. And this is true. This is why I can testify this. Again, I'm testifying, but I will boast of in the Lord. But when I had this experience with God, I wanted to know about the Bible. Right? And so I remember inquiring, are there any Bible studies that I just want to know more? Because I thought Wednesday Life Group was already excellent. I was learning so much. And I thought, there must be more somewhere. So I found out there was one Friday night. The Friday night was when I was working at McDonald's trying to make money, right? This is how I afforded my guitars and things like that. Anyway, side story. But then I said, well, no, I don't think I can make it night. It's really the only time I can work. So he said, but hey, there's one at 5 a.m. in the morning. I said, are you for real at 5 a.m.? I don't ever wake up at 5 a.m. So I remember saying that, and I thought about it. I said, maybe I can try it once. I mean, I can wake up at 5 before I get to be there by 5 once, and let's see what happens. Anyway, I said to myself, no, I want to go for it. And I'm telling you, I don't remember anyone saying you need to, you should, you have to, it's good for you. Because it was something I wanted. And no one even told me, hey, did you know there was a Bible? I did not know. But I did ask, because I just thought, yeah, there must be something this church is doing. What are these things? Let me find out. And I remember finding out, and when I joined in there, I started to spend more time with pastors there. Doors began to open, and it was more than Friday night, I got multiplied. It started to be Tuesday, started to be foundation of Christian doctrine by Kevin Connor. Friday morning, we're doing Bible reading and, you know, Bible service, all these kind of things. And I was blessed. I was really blessed. And really, that really did something to my life. And I know it, because not only God was working, but God was working through our spiritual parents from this house, and just really putting so much effort into our own lives. But what I'm saying to you is, I know that I experienced Jesus. All of us need this encounter. Amen? Amen? So, I want to say this as a conclusion this morning, as I've already concluded a couple of times already, but I'm going to conclude one more time. I want to say, maybe to some of us here this morning, you see, with a preacher, that's the only thing you're always concluding. It's always the final verse. Even if the final verse is also the final verse. Right? So in conclusion, I want to say that maybe there are people here this morning that have not realized that we have submitted, when we are not submitted to God, we have submitted ourselves to the devil. And that's no wonder our lives is a mess. It's no longer why the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and we have all these kind of calamities in our lives, and broken families, and all these hardships. And so, I invite you this morning to say to God, Lord, come into my life. I want to submit my life to you. I want to come under Jesus Christ, who is able to deliver me from sin, from darkness, and from death. And he can bring me to life, and I can experience this new life, which I know for sure I experienced. I know my life was never the same after I received Jesus. And so we can all experience that. And what you need to do, and what you need to say, is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost without you. I cannot do it without you. But Lord, I come before you. I submit. I recognize that you're my God, and I thank you for the precious gift that you sent Jesus Christ to die, to take away the keys of death and Hades, and to take the keys of death and Hades and break the power of death and rise from the dead and seated in glory and majesty, coming back for me again. Lord, I turn away from my sins. I turn away from all the bad things I've done. I turn away from my past life. Today I choose. I make the decision to make you my Lord and my Savior. Be the master of my life. And I will live for you from now on. Empower me, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you make that prayer this morning, if you really believe that with all of your heart, I believe truly from all of my heart. The Bible says you've been born again. You are a new creation.
Yeah.
Alright? Be sure you stay connected with your local church. Even people of God, stay connected with your church. There's something much more that God has for us.
Yeah.
Alright? As we yield ourselves to do His will and expand His everlasting kingdom. Amen?
Yeah.
If you receive that, can you say amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.